This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Robert de Cormier is revered for his work as a composer, musician, and a prolific arranger of choral music. De Cormier passed away Tuesday at the age of 95. For well over half a century, his presence in the classical and folk music scenes has been felt and heard around the world and here at home in Vermont. We'd like to commemorate his outstanding accomplishments today. Director of VPR Music, Kari Anderson, takes us through de Cormier's accomplished life. Robert de Cormier's presence in the world of classical and folk music has been felt for well over half a century. He's also had a strong presence in Vermont's musical community, founding the Vermont Symphony Orchestra Chorus and the vocal ensemble Counterpoint. He was a prolific arranger of choral music and deeply committed to issues of social justice. A graduate of Juilliard, Robert de Cormier straddled the classical and folk musical worlds, often bringing the two together in new and unexpected ways. During his life, he worked with groups ranging from the popular trio Peter, Paul, and Mary to the New York Choral Society. Robert de Cormier was born in Poughkeepsie, New York, 1922. His life in music began when he was seven.
I wanted a trombone, but it was a little big for me, and my parents finally got me a trumpet, and I have no idea why. You know, music is that kind of thing which has a strange effect upon people. Who knows why? Anyway, I started when I was seven, and really never left it.
De Cormier struck with the trumpet through high school, and by college, he knew he wanted to study music. He bounced around colleges, spending 2 years at Colby College in Maine, and then 2 semesters at the University of New Mexico, before joining the Army and fighting in World War II. After he was wounded in the war, De Cormier was sent to a hospital on Staten Island. During his recovery, he heard that the Congress of Industrial Organizations, a federation of labor unions, was forming a chorus in New York City. De Cormier decided to try out.
I got into that chorus, and I was very socially conscious at that point. I was concerned about the troubles of the world, as I'm still concerned about them, and was trying to make up my mind whether I was going to become a union organizer or a musician.
At the advice of director of the CIO chorus, Robert de Cormier chose to go to Juilliard and study choral music. During his years there, he got his first job directing a chorus, the Jewish Young Folk Singers. With that group, de Cormier began arranging folk music for choruses.
I was very interested in folk music, probably because of my interest in social causes. And I began to hang around with the folk music people in New York and was there, you know, through the whole birth of the Weavers and knew all those people very well. And actually did a lot of arranging for people like Cisco Houston. I did some arranging for Paul Robeson. So I was very involved in that kind of music.
During this time, Robert de Cormier met Harry Belafonte.
The woman is calling out, and every day you can hear her shout.
Belafonte was a soloist at one point when the Jewish Young Folk Singers. De Cormier's association with Belafonte ended up leading to a job offer.
This is after his first big success with the Calypso album. His second album, he asked me if I would be willing to do it with him, and so I did all the arrangements for his second album, and then he asked me to work with him full-time.
For a 5-year period in the late 50s and early 60s, Robert de Cormier worked for Harry Belafonte. He helped form the Belafonte Folk Singers, a group that backed up Harry Belafonte and also recorded and toured on their own. When Robert de Cormier stopped working for Belafonte in 1962, he formed his own group, the Robert de Cormier Singers. This group recorded and toured for Columbia Records and was active until 1987. Around this time, another big job came de Cormier's way. In 1970, he became the director of the New York Choral Society.
He really built the New York Choral Society into the first-class choral organization that it is.
That's John Goodwin, who followed de Cormier as director of the society. He began working with de Cormier in 1981 as his assistant and took over the chorus when de Cormier stepped down in 1987. Goodwin said that de Cormier put together adventurous programs for the chorus to perform, but that wasn't the only thing that made him stand out. De Cormier loved to work with all kinds of musicians.
One of the things that really strikes me about working with Bob is how many people have worked with him over the years and how many of them love to work with him again.
One of the groups de Cormier is best known for working with is the folk trio Peter, Paul, and Mary.
If
After he graduated from Juilliard, de Cormier taught at a high school in Greenwich Village. The late Mary Travers was one of his students.
What a charismatic conductor he was. Everybody loved chorus, and everybody loved and adored him. He's one of those kind of charismatic people that are great leaders.
When Peter Paul and Mary originally formed, they wanted de Cormier to be their musical director, but he was already working with Harry Belafonte. The trio broke up in 1970 and reunited in 1978. And when they got back together, de Cormier joined them. Back in 2002, Travers described de Cormier as being the objective ears for Peter Paul and Mary. He would keep track of the parts, remember what people did, and when everyone was stumped, he'd offer fresh ideas.
Bob is the fourth voice of the trio. It's four creative people sitting in a room making something by hand. What we do is it's kind of like a bunch of people cooking together.
In many cases, Bob contributed to the stable quality of the music that Peter, Mary, and I produced over his tenure with us, which was, 30 years.
Noel Paul Stuckey of Peter, Paul, and Mary said de Cormier's experience as a choral arranger enhanced the group's work. In particular, he praised de Cormier's ability to arrange folk music in a way that preserved the authenticity and simplicity of the style.
When he provides a symphonic score for a particular piece of folk music, he, rather than overwhelms it, he embraces it or surrounds it in much the same way that a character in the middle of a movie screen would be enhanced by the scenery.
Robert de Cormier's choral arrangements of folk and world music capture the beauty of the source material. Folk music tends to be simple and spare, which can make it a challenge to arrange for large chorus or orchestra. The desire to pile on complex harmonies and intricate orchestration can sometimes obscure the beauty of the original folk song.
Robert, when he chooses to pull out his complicated harmonies, he does it very well. But I think what struck me over the years is how sparingly he uses musical complexity of the 19th century. So you end up with arrangements that are very clear, sometimes surprisingly sparse in the voicings. He's really, really good at cutting away extraneous ideas until he's just gotten down to the core of what he wants.
Nathaniel Liu is a music professor at St. Michael's College. He met Robert de Cormier in 2003 when he joined Counterpoint, a vocal ensemble de Cormier founded in 2000. Counterpoint was actually the second vocal ensemble Robert de Cormier started in Vermont. In 1993, he was asked to start the Vermont Symphony Orchestra Chorus. He said in the years between leaving the New York Choral Society and starting the VSO Chorus, he didn't have too many new projects.
I was still working with Peter, Paul, and Mary, but that was about it at that moment. Thank goodness Kate Tamarkin and Tom Fillion asked me to form the Vermont Symphony Orchestra Chorus in 1993, because this has been the most wonderful time for me, as wonderful as anything in my life, really, with the VSO Chorus and then Counterpoint as sort of the icing on the cake for me. It's just wonderful to have these people to work with.
3, 4, 1. I can
hear. Well, the Vermont Symphony Orchestra Chorus has been wonderful. I've really had a great time with that. But I discovered in this chorus that there were singers singing with me who were extremely well-trained. So we talked about the possibility of forming a group, a professional group, and everybody decided this was a good idea.
Yeah, let's get that. Yeah. With my head, my heart and my hands. And alto, with my head, my heart and my hands.
De Cormier said the point of this group was to have a group of Vermont singers who were professionals. This meant not only were they top-notch singers, but that they were paid for their work. In 2011, Nathaniel Lou took over as director of Counterpoint. Lou said De Cormier taught him how to make clearer and more direct choral arrangements and how to make more deliberate choices when organizing a concert.
I've thought so much more about what it means to sing particular pieces, what it means to the audience, you know, the kind of questions that he's spent so much time thinking about. I think it really matters to make a program that at the end of it, both the singers and the listeners have had a deeper experience than just hearing music wonderfully sung.
While music was a huge part of his life, it wasn't the only thing. Robert De Cormier fell in love with Vermont the first time he visited. In 1956, he and his wife Louise bought an old farmhouse in Belmont, Vermont.
There was no running water, really, and no electricity. It was an old farmhouse and beautiful old barn. The barn was about 200 years old. We've just loved it ever since.
Robert and Louise didn't live full-time in Vermont until 1977, even though they continued to commute to New York weekly for the next 10 years. The farm was important to De Cormier. He had goats and horses. Stuckey said that seeing De Cormier in this environment deepened his respect for the man.
And my association with him runs deep because I was so enamored of him in the horse stall shoveling out this, you know, the horse poop. I mean, he was not a gentleman farmer so much as he was a participant in the rural community.
And then there's Louise, De Cormier's wife. The two met in 1950 when Louise saw Robert accompanying Paul Robeson on guitar. Robert and Louise were married that same year. In conversations with those who knew Robert De Cormier, people consistently mentioned the strong bond between the couple.
How can you talk about Bob away from music without mentioning Louise, who was a pistol and definitely his equal in terms of conversation and emotional, familiarity, eagerness to participate in discussions that range, you know, everything from the latest movie to, ethical discourse.
He and his wife sang at my wedding. They sang a song called Kisses Sweeter Than Wine. Bob played the guitar and the two of them sang, and it was just so moving for everybody that was there, people who didn't even know them. It was a tremendous experience.
Robert is funniest when he and Louise are together, because Louise and Robert together are just so delightful. They have been married forever, and it's so fun to watch them interact, and they raise each other to a level of real delight in life.
Robert De Cormier wanted people to listen with intention. His love of music wasn't just about making something beautiful, but making something that would hit people at their core. He loved the words and songs and the power of the intention behind those words. His love of folk music, which is music of the people, reflected his desire to use music to communicate and speak with the musicians, singers, and listeners. Here's De Cormier speaking in 2002.
I believe that music needs to serve people, and it can serve it in many, many ways. It can have a deeply spiritual effect on people, as it certainly does. Or it doesn't have to be religious. I mean, it can have a profound spiritual effect and be of secular nature. But music is an important part of our lives. I've never been able to quite figure out what it is, really, except that I know that I couldn't live without it, and I don't think that people can really exist without music. I don't think they ever have.
Mama Israel, Robert DeCormier died at the age of 95 on Tuesday. That was Kari Anderson, director of VPR Music. The piece was produced by Liam Elder Connors with technical support from Sam Sanders and Chris Albertine. The interview with Robert DeCormier, Mary Travers, John Goodwin, and the Counterpoint rehearsals were from John Van Hoosen. Special thanks to Linda Radke, Walter Parker, Franny Bastian, Lynn McRae, Amy Caldwell, and Rick Winston.